said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
People, get ready.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Gather round on the radio now.
Today FM Morning Crew.
Off air, uncut.
And it is the podcast feature where we get to have a longer chat with folks. And this is someone that Erin Mullen brought to our... Well, we know her, but Erin Mullen said, oh, there's a friend of mine you should speak to, lads. Her name is Samantha X, author, journalist, madam, sexpert. And also for the lingerie and adult toy range, head to SamanthaXAfterDark.com.au.
Yeah, so Erin has tapped out. She has somewhere else to be, but she said... She says that she says to Samantha that she will be safe with Hughie and Air. Do you feel safe with us, Samantha? Do you feel like we will
No, I don't.
disappointing.
Yes, I do. That's a shame she had to go because I think she'd like the things I'd say about women. But that's okay. I'm sure she'll listen to her own podcast.
She definitely will listen to her own podcast and she'll be happy with the mentions she's had so far. So
now, when you wrote your first book, I've always been wanting to ask you this. When you wrote your first book, the bestseller, Hooked, Secrets of a High-Class Escort.
Yes.
What was it?
What are you going to ask me?
No, I'm asking everything. Because Hughie writes, keeps a diary. So Hughie keeps a diary and he says that that's a great way for him to remember his day and then things that come up. So were you keeping a diary? So you had been keeping a diary and then that's how the book came about, or you had to sort of go back and think, oh, okay, remember this, remember that?
No, I didn't keep a diary. What I did was every time I was on a plane, I took out the Qantas sick bag and wrote a few notes. So I had chapters. I wrote my book practically on a Qantas sick bag. So I just had a piece of paper, a pen, and I'd go chapter one, talk about this, chapter two. Oh, yeah, the Jesus client. So I just had very, very basic notes. I didn't even know how the book was going to pan out. I just wrote it. The story just came out as I wrote it. I didn't plan to write much of it. Yeah. So, yeah, I've got to thank Qantas for that.
Yeah, good on that. And also thank all your clients who paid for you to travel around the world to do your work. Is that fair to say?
Yes. And, you know, it's funny because I offended so many clients by not mentioning them.
Yeah, I would have thought that, yes. I thought, yeah.
They were like, why did he get a whole chapter and I got a few lines?
How many people were, I mean, obviously discretion is assured in your industry and that is why the industry is so vibrant. Mm-hmm. So were a lot of people in the industry telling you not to write the book, don't publish the book, don't. It's like magicians giving away their secrets sort of situation, Samantha?
No, not one person. And I don't, I mean, even though I've been in the industry for close to 10 years, I actually don't know that many people in the industry. All my friends are not in the industry. No one said that to me. And even if they did say that, I just knew that book had to come out. So I wouldn't have listened to them anyway.
Did you, like, when you wrote the book, did you make sure that nothing could be, none of your clients could be identifiable? I mean, obviously they know who they are, but did you, was that prevalent in your mind or?
Yes, and it's funny because some of the clients said, you can say everything, anything you want about me. You know, you can tell them who I am, but I didn't. You know, I thought just rather, you know, if someone was a banker from Melbourne, I said they were a farmer from Sydney or whatever. Yeah, I completely changed the identities because I didn't want anyone to get into trouble. You know, that's not what I'm about. You know, discretion is really important.
Now, talk to me about your mentoring programs. I'm fascinated by these. So you've got...
Go on, yes.
So the business mentoring. Tell me about your business mentoring.
Oh, God, it's so funny because of my job as Samantha, you know, involves mainly sitting and listening to people.
Yeah.
Lots of men were coming to me with business advice. And, you know, one guy I see has a landscape gardening. business. And he pays me just to sit and talk about his landscape gardening and what it should be called and what should he put on the side of his truck. And, I don't know, but it seems to be whatever I say they go with. So
they trust you.
They trust you.
They trust
you. Listen.
On that subject, on the talking that goes on within a booking, I don't want to get too technical here, but obviously, I mean, what percentage of clients don't want sex at all? Is there a little percentage, or they all want sex as part of the engagement?
There's a small percentage that don't. I'd say most of the clients don't really expect it, or it's not really discussed. If it happens, it happens. But yeah, look, the clients I attract, I mean, for example, I had dinner the other week. He sent his driver to pick me up. We had a beautiful dinner, and then he sent his driver to take me home. And it was, you know, someone like that just wants someone to talk to. And I do see that a lot in my job. But yeah, there is the intimate side as well.
Yeah. So when there is intimacy involved, I'm just fascinated. Would you like in a time booking? Would the intimacy generally come right at the end, or sometimes it comes earlier and then so right at the end? So it's like the last thing that happens.
Yes, because they're men like to feel the connection and they, you know, believe it or not, and I was very surprised to hear this about or to know this about men or get to know this about men. It's not just about sex. They want intimacy in lots of ways.
Yeah.
Physical sex is just one part, and I wouldn't say it's the largest part. They want that connection, communication, talking. You know, I really feel that men are lacking in that. I mean, I don't know. What do you think? You're men.
I agree.
But so, what's the thing you hear most from the men that you've known over the years? What's the sort of the most common sort of topic or what's the most common thing that you hear from men?
Oh, that's a really good question. They don't understand women.
Would you instruct, this is getting a little bit graphic, but would you ever instruct men like on how to make it better? Do you know what I mean? Would you say to a guy, if you did this, it would be better? Like, do they ask that sort of situation? How can I be a better lover?
Yes, I think actually that's a good point. The number one request for men is not what you can do for them, but what can they do for you?
Yeah.
Because I think, in relationships it's sex becomes bottom of the list and it's very quick usually. So they, they like foreplay and, they don't, sex is sex is sex. Once, it can be over very quickly. So they like to build up to that.
Yeah.
Now, what about your other mentoring, your escort mentoring? So this is something, this is interesting. So is this from you helping people who are moving into the industry to know the, for want of a better phrase, the ins and outs, the what to do's, what to not, or et cetera?
Yes. And, this I've always said, and I always say to the women that come and see me, it's not, this job isn't for everyone. It's definitely not. And I never want to glamorize it. There's a certain type of woman that can do this job. You have to be very patient and have lots of compassion. But women, come to me and talk to me about the job, they've been thinking about it for a long time. And these are women over 40. They're not young girls. They've been thinking about it for a while. They've been out there. They've usually been married. They've got kids. They want to do it for many reasons, for a thrill, to be, for something exciting in their life, a double life.
Can I ask how long the thrill lasted for you, or maybe the thrill is still going? I don't want to bring this back to me, but I will. I do stand-up comedy, and I had a comedy veteran mate of mine tell me the other day that surely the thrill has gone for me. It hasn't gone for me in stand-up comedy. Has the thrill gone for you in escort work?
I wouldn't say the thrill has gone, but I'm ready to move on now. I don't see clients much these days. It'll be once in a blue moon. But no, I think the thrill is still there. You never know who you're going to meet, but and every experience is different. But yeah, I do think this job has a finishing date for me.
Yeah, right.
And that's coming up. I'm ready for the next stage of my life now.
Have you told your sort of longer clients that, because there's going to be a race on to say, no, if time's running out here, I want to make sure, that they still get to see you.
Look, my clients, my dear clients who I've been seeing for a long, long time, when I say that to them, they say, oh, but you'll still see me, won't you?
You're going to have like a number of breakups.
How long is the longest clients you've had? Is it, 5 years longer?
longer. And, you know, I sometimes I get flowers saying happy seventh year anniversary. Wow. You know, I've been seeing my clients for a long time and wow. I love them all in special ways. Yeah,
I want to pick up on what you said earlier when you advise women entering the escort industry that they need to have compassion. So, which is something we don't think about, you know, not as, as to someone who's working in this industry.
Yeah,
So you've got to have kindness basically to do the work you do.
Absolutely. You have to, you meet all kinds of men from all walks of life, you know, and they all have a different story. And that's what I was addicted to, listening to their stories.
Yep.
And you know, some men, a lot of men struggle. And, you know, I've seen many men sit on the couch and cry. And
goodness.
You can't just roll your eyes and go, yeah, yeah, give me the money. You just, you know, you have to be present, you have to be grounded, and you have to be genuine. And, you know, men aren't stupid. They can pick up if you're just there for the money. And they, you just, it's almost like therapy. What it is like therapy, to
yes,
be honest.
Yes, of course.
And that's what I wrote my books about, really. And I think that's the thing people don't really know about this industry. It's we're psychologists.
Have you gone so far as to get some? You've been doing some study in this world, I believe.
I did. Yeah, I did do half a diploma in counselling, but then I realised I was doing it anyway in my job.
And I thought, course.
But you know what? I thought, why? I don't want to get paid, you know, a couple of $100 when I could get paid a lot more. Would I already doing it?
But you're actually providing a brilliant and beautiful service and helping the mental health of a lot of men. You'd agree with that?
Thank you. I do. Yeah, I think all women in this industry do, and men. I mean, during COVID lockdown, I had a client in Melbourne who rang me suicidal. You know, he hasn't spoken to anyone in months, you know, lives by himself. No. And I, you know, you have to be experienced in dealing with these situations.
But also,
you know, it's not all five star. So, no,
but you'd be a confessor. They would would give you secrets because they think this is like a – almost a, you know, the safest space they've got.
Is
that fair to say?
Absolutely. And I say to a lot of men, you know, have you thought about talking to a counsellor? And they look at me as if I'm mad, going, no, why would I talk to a counsellor? You know, I think some men feel that they would be judged. And, you know, I don't think counsellors judge, but I think they feel they would be judged.
No,
you know, I used to have a very powerful businessman client in the city, and he would come to my apartment in the city during lunch, and he would just cry about the abuse he suffered as a child. You know, he hadn't even told his wife that.
Wow.
You know, so you do, you are, it's a beautiful thing when men can open up, I believe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go on.
Can we go back to the first, when you first started? So, I mean, I imagine you didn't, you know, dream about this as a young person, or maybe you did, or what was, for people who haven't read the books, definitely read the books because they're fascinating, but what was the first time what got you into the industry?
Look, I think it's always surprising for people to find out that a lot of women get into this industry out of choice, you know, not because they're desperate. You know, I had a great job in magazines, but I decided to leave that to be an escort is because...
You're also a television producer, weren't you, as well? You were also a freelance TV producer.
Yeah, for Today Tonight, back in the day.
Yeah, wow.
I was only there.
I love that. And, I love that.
I always say I left journalism to do something more ethical.
That's what we're talking about.
I think that's fair to say. So
that is real talk.
Yeah. So you made a decision. Yeah. How did you make the decision?
Well, as a teenager, I used to go to France with my family because I'm from London, and I used to see these glamorous women on the Promenade des Anglais, which is a big street in Nice, and they were so glamorous and beautiful, and I used to see them get into all the Rolls Royces and Bentleys, and I was just so, you know, struck by how beautiful they were, but it was always in my head. So from then on, it was always in my head.
Yep.
And I hear a lot of women who are in the industry, they just say they knew. And I guess I always knew. And I just got to the stage where I was mid-30s. I was sick of the dating scene, you know. I realised that there was no man coming to rescue me. And I don't say that in a sad, desperate way. It's just a realistic way. And I just thought, well, you know, I may as well get paid for my time now. I'm ready to do it. And so I didn't know a soul in the industry, but I just did my due – I mean, as a journalist, I knew how to research, and there, that was it. And I remember my first client, you know, all we talked about was, I think The Voice was on TV.
Geez, you want to get paid well for that.
Yeah. Did you go yeah, to his exactly. house, or was it at a hotel, or was it in a in a brothel? Or?
No, it was in an apartment. And he talked about Delta Goodrum, and I have spoken about this before, but I had to listen to an hour of Delta Goodrum, which is fine, I love Delta, but it wasn't what I expected, and I just thought, wow, is this what this job is about?
Is it the actual act, is that what percentage is performance, 100%, 90% in general?
Look, I don't want to give away my secrets, but and nor do I want to offend anyone.
Yes.
Look, sometimes you can have great connection and chemistry with a client, you know. Yeah. And for me, what I've learned in this job is that I've learned not to judge people on the way they look, because some of the most beautiful people I've met have been, you know, not attractive, but, you know, I've had clients that are severely disabled and they come in with their carer, and of course they can't have sex, but, you know, you build a beautiful connection with them, and they teach me so much about life. You know, I'm honoured to spend time with them.
This is just wonderful, honestly.
Well, Samantha X, Samantha X, After Dark, Samantha X After Dark.com.au. I got a last question for me, just a quick one.
Yeah. Yes.
We've had a lovely chat. We've had a nice time chatting. Cusey and I
I'm
both
not going to charge you for this, by the way.
No, I appreciate it. We appreciate that. Cusey and I are both comedians. How much time have you spent having to laugh at men's bad jokes to make them feel better about themselves?
A lot. That's why my fees are so high. God,
it makes me question the last 20 minutes. Good on you, Samantha.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thanks so much.
It's a pleasure. Samantha X, afterdark.com.au. Absolutely fascinating.
Talk to her all day.
Well, bro, you got the cash too, so you may well be able to. Thank you, Samantha.
Great.